We turn back to that portion of God's word here in Proverbs chapter 3. And we particularly are looking for our text this evening. We are particularly looking here at verse 20. By his knowledge the depths were broken up, and clouds dropped down the dew. The title of the message this evening is The Watering of the Earth. The Watering of the Earth. Now, as you ponder the Word of God here, and as you ponder especially the Word of God, which speaks of God's great hand in creation, his command in creation, all that he has made, you cannot but ponder, you cannot but be drawn to the fact that people in general, they are uncaring, unthoughtful, and totally ungrateful with regards to the sustaining of all life here on earth. They just have not got a clue. If they have got a clue, they choose to ignore. People are indeed unthoughtful, uncaring, and ungrateful to the one who sustains all life, the giver of all life. We live in an atheistic dominated society. Yes, we serve a sovereign Lord God who is working all things according to his divine decree. All things. Even in the lives of the atheist. But in terms of the society in which we live in, we do live in an atheistic dominated society. It is dominant in all areas of society. All areas of society. And it's even got its tentacles in what calls itself the Church of Jesus Christ. It's in everything. And everything that is wicked in this world, everything that is ungodly, everything that is against God's word in this world can be traced back to that. And you don't need to be having the brains of Albert Einstein to be able to work that out. You take God out of the equation. You take God out of the equation, you pretend there is no God, you say there is no God, you therefore, you disobey everything that is in God's word. This atheistic dominated society has relegated God Almighty in their own minds out of existence. In their minds and in their consciences. Though their conscience still screams at them. Because they cannot relegate totally God out of their conscience. Just read Romans 1. Just read Psalm 16, Psalm 14. But nonetheless, that is the state of the world we live in. The Word of God speaks of fallen men and women lost in sin and in absolute, total rebellion against the Holy One, who cast aside the acknowledgement of the Creator, rather to worship and venerate the creation. Is that not what we see in this world? People joke about tree huggers, don't they? But it's far more sinister than that. They are literally worshipping the creation. We see these words in Romans 1, these familiar words in Romans 1. For the wrath of God, verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress. You see that word? They suppress. They can't take out of existence. They can deny, but even that denial does not silence the word of God. They suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because what may be known of God is manifest. It's brought to light for all to see. It's manifest in them. In them. In their very being. For God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. People love to make excuses. Oh, but this. Oh, but that. No excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God. See, man has, since the creation, even since the fall, have had a consciousness of God. That's why throughout the centuries, the millennia, there have been some form of gods they have formed for themselves. They were not thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, this is always the alarm call. Professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lusts of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves. And yes, I know the Supreme Court of the United States says that's okay now. But what does God say? Who exchanged the truth of God for the lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. I sent you that message yesterday, imploring you to pray against such wickedness that is abounding today in such news that came out of the United States on Monday. I do trust that you are burdened by that. May it affect you. The next generation are going to suffer. But see here in Romans 1, it is interesting to note. Do you note here in Romans 1 these where we read of the wrath of God is poured out upon all unrighteousness. The wrath of God is poured out. Verse 18. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven. But just go back, backtrack just a few more verses. just a few more verses. Into such a world, what is the world we're talking about? The world where the wrath of God is revealed from heaven. Into such a world, we who have tasted the grace of God in Jesus Christ, his Son, not being ashamed of his gospel, are sent to bear witness. Verse 15. So as much as is in me, the apostle says, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. For the Jew first, and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. The righteousness, how someone is made righteous before God. In salvation. And then we see how verse 18, how it runs on. Into such a world, we are sent and placed where we are. Wherever we are, declaring what is the truth. And yet, it is further complicated, I know. As 2 Timothy 3 tells us, we live in terrible times. In terrible times, as even some who profess faith do not give God the glory. In fact, live in total rebellion against God. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And from such people turn away. Into such a world, we are sent to bear witness to the truth of God's word. And as we look here at verse 20 of Proverbs chapter 3, by his knowledge the depths are broken up. As we see in these words this evening, behold God's overall goodness to his creation. Even such a world in which we live. God's overall benevolence to this ungrateful world. And they don't give it a second thought. And I've been convicted even today, as I thought about it yesterday, I felt guilty about it today and yesterday, muttering and grumbling to myself about how the weather was changing from bright sunny weather to rainy weather. Oh, how we do that so quickly, don't we? God's goodness is seen here to his creation. Even those who hate and deny him. Though most of man does not acknowledge the truth of it, God Almighty is good to them in bringing the seasons upon this earth. Yeah, I know the rainbow's been hijacked by the ungodly in these days, but the rainbow was God's promise to the earth that he would never flood the earth again. And not only that, in that covenant given to Noah, it was there will be seed time and harvest. There would be the seasons. The Lord Jesus, who is the wisdom of God, declared in Matthew 5:45, he makes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. And notice these words here. He makes his sun. That luminary in the sky that we call the sun is his. It's his. He placed it there. He sustains it. He gives it its courses above. And he causes it to shine. Now, from the beginning of creation, we see the great knowledge, perception, discernment of which this means. The great knowledge, perception, discernment, the wisdom of the Almighty in providing for the world which he made by the word of his power and command. He provided for it all. Nothing was left to chance. We read in Genesis 1:6-7, and God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And so it was so. So we have the seas and the rivers. The rivers flowing into the seas. We have the seas, and we have above the firmament, we have the clouds. Where indeed we read in Ecclesiastes, they contain the rain which rains upon the earth. Yes, it was so. It stood fast. Therefore, rebellious, humanistic, atheistic men and women are exposed as fools by their denial of God Almighty. You see, for they cannot. You challenge a self-proclaimed atheist. They cannot affect nor bring about those natural things, such as the rains necessary for sustaining life here. But God, we read, he brings the former and the latter rains. They are totally and utterly dependent upon the very God who they deny. Who incidentally lends us breath. He lends it to us. Even the very breath that I am breathing and speaking with now is not mine. He's lent it to us. Yes, foolish man tries to tell us that mankind can somehow work to sustain the planet. You hear them speak, don't you? Sustain the planet. Protect the planet. Save the planet. But the truth is, as Jeremiah 14:22 declares, asking this question, challenging them. Are there any among the vanities of the Gentiles that can cause rain? All their false gods, all their philosophies, all their science, can they cause rain? Or can the heavens give showers? Are not thou he, O Lord, our God? Therefore we will wait upon thee, for thou hast made all these things. By his knowledge, the depths were broken up. The depths are broken up. Secondly, behold God's special care. Yes, there's an overarching, overall goodness to the whole of the creation. But behold God's special care for his elect people, as pictured by the waters and the morning dew forming on the earth. And clouds drop down the dew. Here in our text, when Solomon says the clouds drop down the dew, he speaks of a trickling forth. Just a trickling forth. Just enough is given, therefore. Proverbs 19:12 tells us, the king's wrath is as the roaring of a lion, but his favour is as dew upon the grass. Once again, wonderful poetic words from the scriptures. Some of the greatest poetry in all the world is in the Hebrew tongue. Like the dew which forms at the dawning of a new day, so are God's wonderful blessings to his own special people, whom he has called for his own name's sake. As Lamentations 3:22-23 tells us, his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. You can just imagine as Jeremiah pens these words. And he's just lost in wonder, love and praise. And all he can say is, great is thy faithfulness. Because in the words before, he said, it is of thy mercies that we are not consumed. Sadly, this ungrateful spirit that we find in the world has entered the church of Jesus Christ, with many turning aside from the truth and indeed not giving unto God the glory due his name. Not exalting the all-glorious name of Jesus Christ, who is upholding all things by the word of his power. Such ones are found within churches who are indeed not true believers. even as Jeremiah the prophet addresses such in his day amongst the people of Judah. He says in chapter 5 and verse 23, Jeremiah chapter 5, "But this people has a defiant and rebellious heart. They have revolted and departed. They do not say in their heart, 'Let us now fear the Lord our God, who gives rain, both the former and the latter, in its season. He reserves for us the appointed weeks of the harvest.' Your iniquities have turned these things away, and your sins have withheld good from you. For among my people are found wicked men. They lie in wait as one who sets snares. They set a trap. They catch men." Nothing new under the sun, you see. Yet, as God's true elect ones, as God's true people, redeemed by the blood of God's Son, we do recognize the truth as told to us in Romans 8:32. "He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" We recognize, we acknowledge, not only that we depend upon this great benevolent God, but that he is most generous indeed and showers us with blessings innumerable. Though we may complain like those Israelites of old in the wilderness, who were redeemed from bondage in Egypt. That bondage in Egypt, the great picture of Christ's deliverance of us from sin. Each day, though we complain, each day with the morning dew comes another blessing. It's the sign to us that another day and another blessing has come unto us, providing for our every need according to his riches in glory. For we have this wonderful account in Exodus 16. Exodus 16 and verse 11. "And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'I have heard the complaints of the children of Israel. Speak to them, saying, at twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God.' And so it was that quails came up at evening and covered the camp, and in the morning the dew lay all around the camp. And when the layer of dew lifted, there on the surface of the wilderness was a small round substance as fine as frost on the ground. So when the children of Israel saw it, they said to one another, 'What is it?' For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, 'This is the bread which the Lord has given to you to eat. This is the thing which the Lord has commanded. Let every man gather it according to each one's need. One omer for each person, according to the number of persons, let everyone take for those who are in his tent.'" Yet greater still, we learn wonderful lessons from this, but greater still, with the dew announcing a new day to us, as the people of God, we have him who this heavenly bread pictured all along. We have him, our Lord Jesus Christ, the bread of life, unlike the manna, he changes not. That which was left there rotted. That which was kept beyond its day rotted. He changes not, but rather is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Each morning dew reminds us of our Saviour's unchanging, immutable love for us. Thirdly, we see the hearts of sinners. They are as parched, as a parched piece of ground, as a desert place. But even in a parched piece of ground, the dew can have an impact. The going forth of the gospel by the word of God, as the Spirit of the Almighty is poured out, is likened to the faithfulness of God when he sends the rain to nourish the earth and brings forth fruits in their own season. God says by the prophet in Isaiah 55, verse 10, "For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and returns not thither, but waters the earth and makes it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." This is a poor analogy, but like the dew of the grass, like the dew of the grass, the word of God can be a delight to some, a delight refreshing one, while to others who are as the ones who sit down on the dew-sodden grass, it is to them discomfort. And they despise it. And so is the word of God, which by the gospel is preached unto you. Whatever the impact and the response in sending forth his word, the Almighty is doing good nonetheless. As 2 Corinthians 2:15 and 16 says, "For we are unto God a sweet savour of Christ, in them that are saved and in them that perish. To the one we are the savour of death, unto death. And to the other, the savour of life, unto life. And who is sufficient for these things?" Lastly, briefly, God's breaking up the depths of the waters. As we see in Genesis 6 and 7. God's breaking up the depths of the waters as he did with the ancient world, bringing that deluge upon the earth in his wrathful divine displeasure, points us graphically to the coming judgment, where the storehouses of God's wrath shall be poured forth upon all who reject him and do not believe on his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He shall usher in the consummation of all things as the Lord Jesus comes to judge the nations in righteousness. And this shall be done in perfect knowledge, discernment, as indeed God beholds the hearts of all men. The Almighty created in wisdom. Sustains in wisdom. Was crucified for his elect in great wisdom. The wisdom of the cross. And will condemn the ungodly in his great wisdom. By way of application, we who know ourselves to be the people of God, who have tasted the forgiveness of sins, we must surely pray that our gracious Heavenly Father, even in our day, send His Holy Spirit. Send His Holy Spirit to saturate and drench a fallen world in almighty power, to give new life through the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ and Him crucified, to such as must be saved. And may the Lord teach us each day to be grateful, not only for the physical rain that He sends forth, but that which it pictures also in our lives. Thanking Him for all those daily gems of His goodness that trickle down from heaven as the dew on the earth. Amen.